Man, thank you, Tim. Beautiful words of that song, you know, to know that one day we'll see him again. Amen. Thank you for coming to church on a rainy Sunday morning after Easter. Amen. Miss Margaret, it's one of those Sundays that me and Santa get up in the Sunday morning, and people just tell the preacher who's not coming to church. And after, by the end of a week like this, you add up, well, if anybody comes, I'm glad to see y'all. But several out, though. Tim's out with knee surgery and doing good, though, recovering at home. Thankful for that. He had a window that he couldn't be up, and it just missed church. After 12 today, he'll be better off today. But Sandy, we're so praising God. Thank you for praying for Sandy. Sandy had turned out there was an 89% blockage in that artery in his neck, and so, you know, very dangerous there. But he got along wonderful, and he got to come home yesterday, really about a day earlier than we were expecting. So just praise God and continue to pray for them. And our prayer list is long. Just need to pray. I know Sherry and Kevin slipped out. We've been praying for her uncle that's just fought just a lot of battles lately, and he died this morning. So just pray for that family in a special way. In fact, let's just go and pray together now. Lord, we are so thankful, Lord, that we're back here again, Lord, another Sunday to celebrate your resurrection. Lord, I'm just thankful that we don't have to only do that one Sunday a year on Easter. And so we just are excited to be here to worship you, to, Lord, desiring to listen to your word, Lord, this morning, that you might, Lord, just make it alive and speak to us, Lord, through the Holy Spirit, Lord, what our hearts need to hear, beginning with me. Lord, I do pray for Sandy, continued recovery. Lord, just protect his body from his surgery and restore him and strengthen him, Lord. For Tim, Lord, that you touch that knee. For his mobility, Lord, and that, Lord, just excited for successful surgeries in both, and now just for the recovery, Lord, that you give him patience, you give him peace, take care. I pray for Sherry's family, Lord, that you would be with them in a real special way during this time of loss of a loved one. Lord, our prayer list is long. There's so many needs. I thank you for answer prayers during the week, Lord, just different things that have gone on, testing and rechecking sickness, Lord, but we've seen your hand, and we can praise your name for what you've done and what you're going to do. And, Lord, right now, Lord, we just stand in need, Lord, all together here this morning with a closer walk with you. We know, Lord, that's found in our relationship with you, found in your word and prayer. So, Lord, as we come right now, Lord, I pray that you would touch. Lord, I pray for Brother John Green right now. I thank you for him, Lord. We thank you for the work that you allowed him to do over at Red Cross. Bless them, Lord, as they continue under new leadership and their new pastor. Lord, bless them and bless John even this morning, Lord, as he's out continuing to fill in, do interim work. Just bless him mightily, Lord, as he preaches your word, Lord, this morning. Lord, we thank you for him and Miss Margaret. Lord, I thank you for church family. Lord, that knowing that we can serve you together here, and that will serve you for all eternity, Lord, in home in heaven. Lord, what a time we're going to have. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Turning your Bibles to Luke chapter 23, verse 32. Luke chapter 23, verse 32. And I'll try to remind you at the end of service, but tonight at 6, Maisie and Sandra are going to be here. So our missionaries from Peru, you want to make plans to come back. I tell you, it's always amazing. We ate some Peruvian food last night. Went to a restaurant I'd never been, tried some different things, and then just how humbling it is with a full plate, Brother Marty, sitting there, you know, and asking, is this like it really is in Peru? In most cases, not. But then for them to relate, you know, what mealtime is like in Peru, especially for some of the children that they minister to and for the family. So hope you'll be here tonight. We love Sandra and Macy dearly. Luke chapter 23 and verse 32. I love this passage. We're going back, if you would, to last Friday, Good Friday, and the crucifixion for a moment to be reminded of a picture here from the Bible. Luke 23, 32. And there were also two others, malefactors, criminals, convicted, led with him to be put to death. And when they came to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. The malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself, if it be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of the Greek and Latin and Hebrew, this is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Lord, those two words in verse 43, "with me." Lord, it is overwhelming, almost impossible for us to understand. Lord, it can be nothing but grace and mercy, Lord, the fact that you desire to have a relationship with sinners such as us. Lord, that you make the statement here about a desire that this criminal, Lord, sentenced to die, and he, by his own mouth's confession, Lord, deserving the punishment he's receiving, Lord, that you told him that he could be with you, that he could be with you after death. Lord, and our desire, Lord, to be with you each moment of each day, and then one day, Lord, that we want to be with you there in heaven. Lord, help us this morning. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to look with me in verse 43, and really, those two words that Jesus uses there would be the two words, if I had to give this message a title, it would be "with me." It's been burning in my heart, really, for several days now, just this idea in the Bible, and I quickly, God had brought me to this passage, and the idea that he tells this thief, he says, "You can be with me. You can be with me in paradise." And the idea then, I begin to think of other scriptures we'll look at this morning, that Jesus Christ has this desire that we be with him, that we can be with him. He wants to be with us. And far more than just even being with us to save us, as important as that is, and to give us new life. And far more than just that we can be with him in heaven. But the idea that he wants, he desires this relationship. He desires us to be together. That's really why I think partly in the Bible it tells us in Proverbs to not lean on our understanding. Because, I mean, there's times that I can aggravate myself. Y'all all right? And there's times I know that I aggravate my family. And I know there's times I aggravate y'all. So just this idea that in this setting and what's going on, and remember, Jesus is fully God and fully man. So as fully man, Dickie, he's experiencing the pain that you and I would experience to be nailed to a cross and all that's going on around him, and just this desire, this within his heart, this relationship, just longing and desiring to be with us. It just overwhelms me, it amazes me, and it also excites me to be with him. There was one criminal here that we read about that what he literally was saying, if you would, in verse, as he was talking about in the passage, in verse 39, look there, he says, "Save thyself and us." So one criminal was saying, "Save my life so I can go back and get to doing my life what I want to do." That's really what he was saying. He cared nothing about Jesus. He cared nothing about what Jesus was doing on the cross. And the only reason he wanted to live would be that natural tendency that we all have, that we don't want to die. We want to live. Amen? We just want to live. If he got his life back, which would the statistics from criminals and from prison, if people go back to prison, most likely, if Jesus had given his life back, he'd have come off that cross, he'd have come down, and he would have simply gone back to doing the same life him that he's always done. But I'm so thankful that God even shows us that second criminal, that really in his words that he uses is just to remember me. He's asking Jesus really not to save his life to so that he can have his life like the other, or even that he even expects that his life can be spared. But he's just wanting Jesus to remember him. I believe he had a glimpse. I believe he had the drawing in his heart of who Jesus was, that he was simply saying, "Jesus, remember me if you would. Jesus, save me for yourself, not for me." I'm thankful for the three crosses. Amen. I'm thankful for this picture that God gives us, that there were two hanging. There's one on his right, as the Bible says, one on his left. And that's why, as we began years and years ago to put the three crosses out front, and even, you know, our church logo is kind of the three crosses, it's because of this passage of scriptures. I think it's just so important that we always remember and understand, yes, the most important would be Jesus and that center cross and all that means to us. But the significance of the three crosses is this daily reminder. Listen, every time you drive up to the church, and I know it's just become a habit to see the three crosses, or when you see those three crosses on our church logo on something, I want you to always be reminded of this passage and understand and remember this. On that day, Jesus gives us a picture in his dying for us that he conquered sin and conquered death and all that accomplished. It's a reminder that one of those men on that day went to hell, to be eternally separated from God, to be in relationship no more. And then the other one, because he simply turned to Jesus, and just because he simply believed and trusted in Jesus in that simple fashion, that Jesus said, "You'll be with me this very day in paradise." It was a promise. So that's the significance. That's the meaning. That's the reminder of three crosses that we must always be reminded. That's that picture of every time we're encountering someone that doesn't know Jesus Christ, that's the choice. Either that person, if they die that day, they're going to heaven or they're going to hell. That's just how God has designed it to be. So when we think about what's happening there on that cross, there was a separation, there was a difference that was happening among those men. And what had happened, the one common thing that those two hanging on the cross that was different from Jesus, both those two hanging on the cross, and by the one who ended up in heaven by his confession, they both were criminals. They had both committed the crime, they had been convicted, they had been sentenced, and this sentence was being carried out. There was no question in his mind that they deserved it. So in other words, what had happened was that the sin in their life was separating them, had separated them from, we're going to look at some other things, but separated from God. They're getting ready to be either separated from him, and one grabbed this last minute opportunity for his sin not to have to separate him because of what Jesus had done. The difference between those two criminals and Jesus is this. Jesus had never sinned. He never had any separation from the Father. The only separation that has, and it was a separation on looking upon it just long enough for him to die. It wasn't a break in the relationship, the oneness they had, but it was that looking away, that for a moment removing his hand, or Jesus couldn't have died. That him looked away, but there's this relationship that Bible talks about continually with Jesus Christ and his Father being one, that intimate relationship. Now think about that fact that we know. We know, and every one of us in here has experienced the fact of this. Sin separates us from others. Amen? The sin in our lives, the thing we do, separates us from others and separates us from different things we want to do. From the smallest sin, you can do something wrong, you can say something wrong, there can be a problem that comes between you and somebody in your family or somebody and a friend, and you literally, and you know you've done wrong, but maybe you're pride and you don't want to be forgiven, or maybe you're not giving up that you've done wrong. And so sin begins to separate. You begin to, you know, there's a quietness. Someone's not speaking to someone. They're not going to see someone. There's a just that very common and basic separation that sin can cause. Now, if we look very specifically, though, at these two criminals, but even especially look at the criminal, the one who turned to Christ, the one that went to heaven. Think about his sin and think about what he had done. We have to understand that for that criminal, as he hung there, even before he spoke those words of Jesus Christ, that sin that he committed, that life that he was living, it had made, most likely we could say that most people didn't want to have anything to do with him. Amen? Amen? Isn't that the common thing? You know, you look at the news, you look at someone, your desire is not to be in relationship to the criminals that you see on the TV or that you know about, amen? So there was a separation. Most people didn't want to be anywhere near him. And most likely there was a large portion, I don't have any way of knowing, but most likely the way human nature is, there were many people, probably a lot of people that was in his family, and a lot of people that were friends or used to be friends that he was separated from. When he started getting in trouble and he worked in that life of crime and whatever led him to be the cross, we don't have the specifics, doesn't even matter. But that, you know, they had kind of drawn away. That, you know, may have been family had that time. Now, this is the last time. You need to do this. And if you don't do right, then these are the consequences. And rightfully so. So relationships, but what, and always be reminded of this. Our sin separates us from the relationship God wants us to have. And then that same sin will separate us from the relationship we have with others. And oftentimes God will use it. I never forget, a young pastor just got in ministry, Susie. I get that first call and somebody's having trouble, and basically somebody, married couple, and one's left the other. What do? I call Katie, I call my pastor who was my pastor in ministry. Oh, help me out, Don. What do I do? What do I do with this? And I'll never forget the words of Miss Loretta. And it's just such wisdom and such calm. And he said, God can use a time of separation for the purpose of drawing two people back to him and drawing them back together. And I thought, man, I hadn't really ever thought about it and what wisdom. And so what God, and oh, reminded of this. Even when our sin, or someone we love dearly, sin is separating and causes a trouble in a relationship, God can use that very separation, that time, to hopefully get them to the point where they see that the problem is in the relationship with him and not with somebody else. Amen? Chris recounted a story as we came in this morning, and I really want to share it, Chris, just in not a lot of detail, but because I'd seen it this very week, someone had come into a shop and they were very angry, not a regular customer, needed help. He didn't have time to help them, but being a gracious businessman, he was trying to help them, and the guy just lost it. You know, he's mad. I got to get out of here. I need my truck fixed. I want to get on the road. He starts cussing and wanting to fight people and just going crazy. And you know what that is when that happens? I'd seen some examples of that this very week as I was at my desk looking, and I was studying something else and came across it. Well, that is, they say, that's a problem with that gentleman Chris's relationship with God. Got nothing to do with Chris Moore. Got nothing to do with Pro Diesel. Got nothing to do with anything. It's a problem with the relationship, because what happens when sin is in our lives, it breaks, it separates us, and it causes all manner of trouble. We've all experienced it. There's one thing for sure about that man as he is on that cross. No one, listen, no, there was a separation in that no one could be on that cross with him. Even if his mom, like Jesus' mom, was nearby, even if there was a friend left or two or somebody, even with the separation sin it caused, there's no one. He was totally separated as he hung up there suspended between the earth and heaven. He was totally separated, and no one could be there with him. But here's Jesus. And Jesus, there in the midst of it, wants to be with him. Wants to be in a relationship with him, is thinking about him, is caring about him. And all it required, listen up, Mrs. Y'all, all it required is that for that man to want to be with Jesus. And that saint, y'all, that excites me more than anything. I mean, because we all have people in our families, in our work setting, in our church family, we all have people that sin in their life has separated them from God, has separated them in some ways from maybe you and I, and if nothing else, it's just awkward and your heart aches, and maybe they continue to make bad decisions, and maybe it's someone that, listen, maybe in the world standard, they don't do anything wrong. They're not deserving. They haven't done anything to end up being punished for a crime, but there's just a sin of just not doing the things God wants them to, not experiencing a relationship and experiencing all that God has caused this separation. It's grieving your heart. And good news this morning is Jesus is right there with them through the Holy Spirit right now saying, I want to be with you. I love that, y'all. I love that, because not only for the person I'm thinking about, but when I'm aggravated, when I'm ornery, and when I'm having a bad day, when things are going wrong, and maybe I just don't want to be near anybody, and I'm riding down the road, there's Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit sitting in my Jeep with me saying, hey, I want to be with you. I want to be with you right now. Good days, bad days. His desire is always to have that relationship. And listen, it doesn't matter what I say or what I do, and it can all be damaging to him and damaging to others, but it never, listen, as long as I live, it never breaks that relationship part when I gave my heart to him, and he continually says, just like with the thief, I want to be with you. And all it requires, listen, all it requires is us wanting to be with him, closer to him. You know, God created us, y'all, for a relationship. He created us for a relationship, not for religion. So that thought came, and I've said that before. I've said it many times in this pulpit, very pulpit here. He made us for a relationship. The Bible's all about a relationship, not religion. So as I'm thinking about that laying in the bed this morning, I said, well, I'm going to get back to my desk. I'm going to just do a quick search and find out, because I wonder how many religions they are. And we talk about, we know some of the main religions, whatever. I looked it up this morning, y'all, and you know this is an exact number, but there's somewhere around recorded, written down, that you can identify 4,200 religions. Wow. 4,200. And I'm sure somewhere right now, somebody is coming up with another one. Amen? 4,200. Thank goodness our Bible. Thank goodness what we celebrate at Easter. Thank goodness in Jesus being the way and the truth and the life. And the Bible says nobody comes to Father but Him. That there is only one relationship. Man, I'd go crazy trying to figure out which one of the 4,200 to pick. Wouldn't you? But it's all about this one singular relationship. And y'all, therein comes the rub. Because our human nature and our fleshly nature and all that we see around us, we're just not really geared in the world we live in and in this old fleshly sinful body. We're not geared to just do things one way for one person. Amen? Unless it's us. So we find that when God created this, this relationship He gave us has some meaning behind it. That's what I want us to dive in and look at this morning. And y'all need to wake up a little bit. It's not raining in here, okay, y'all? But y'all have to help me out this morning. I want us to look at a few things about relationship. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8. Turn your Bibles, get woke up. Good gracious, I thought your children was quiet this morning, but I think they got it from y'all. I love you now. I love you. I still want to be with you in Jesus. Genesis 3, 8. We're going to look at a few things about relationship. And about this relationship that's found, this idea to be, you know, He says, be with me. I want you to be with me. Look in Genesis 3:8. It really begins here because this is at the point where the relationship's been damaged, but we have some indication of what the relationship was before. In Genesis 3:8, the Bible says, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? In that passage in the beginning, first of all, we see is this, y'all. Relationship equals purpose, okay? Our relationship with God has a purpose. It really equals the purpose for everything. You find in this passage what's happened here is several things. You find that the relationship that God had with Adam in the garden was where his voice was heard. He was walking with them. It says his very presence was there. I mean, they had this close, intimate relationship, a perfect God with two perfect people in a perfect place. Everything was wonderful. And the purpose, though, that we see there that sometimes we miss can be found in three simple words. If you're writing notes, I encourage you to write these three down. So when we think about relationship equal a purpose for everything that happens, think about it. What we have in the creation account of Genesis is this. We have His design, okay? God designed us. He designed everything we see around us, the sun, the moon, the clouds, the sky, all that we see, the trees, the animals. He's the designer. It was His design. If you would, then it was His diagram. You know, I'm the world's worst at this. You know, I get instructions, buy something new. Got no idea how it works, but I think I do. Got no idea how to put it together, but I think I do. And a lot of what I do, I may not read the word, and I'm guilty of that. Oftentimes not reading His word when I should. But, you know, I like them diagrams sometimes. But I found something about diagrams put in instruction. They can be confusing as all get out. Amen? I mean, 1, 2, B, A, look at this. Don't you love getting to step 4 and you just kind of speed along and you realize you missed something in first step 1 and the only way to get the bolt in, you got to make the decision, I'm going to tear it down and start over, or I'm going to see how to work without it. Amen? He gives the diagram in His Word. So He designed us in everything around us. He gave the diagram of exactly how it should work, you know, what works best, you know, man with woman, that's His diagram, okay? So He gives us His design, His diagram, and then His decisions. You know, they were given the choice, and we find what I read in Genesis 3:8, they've already messed up. He said, hey, there's going to be decisions that you need to make, but I've already guided you in my design and in my diagram of life and the way it should be. I have guided you into this is how you'll make decisions. In other words, listen, every decision that we ever make in life, God has, He has told us, by design, by diagram, through His Word, exactly how we make the decision. You say, well, preacher, that'd be good. I got some decisions I got to make this week. Show me in the Bible what the decision is. I'm not talking about specifically that decision, but how to make that decision is found in His Word. It's His way of deciding. You base it on what His Word says and what He guides, and then He ultimately will help you make that decision. So listen, it's His design. You know, why do we try so often to not be in a relationship with the very one on a daily moment-by-basis who designed our mind that can get so messed up and get confused? Why the one that designed our heart that it can get such a heartache inside of us we can't even describe? Why in the world is it would we not want to be in a closer relationship with the one who designed us? Why is it that we keep trying to put our life together with a diagram that we're looking at somebody else, how they did it or how they said to do it, or some book where they printed even a diagram of how to live life, when God, the designer, gave us the very diagram and He wants to say on a daily basis, just be in relationship. See where the purpose has come? Our purpose in the relationship is we need a close walk with the designer, amen? And we need His diagram how to make it through every day in every situation and ultimately make it to heaven. And we need His decision. Lord, show me what decisions I make. See, the court and people are deciding things now that God already decided. It's a complete waste of time. Amen. Brooke and Dave went to a party yesterday, a birthday party for another baby, and folks Dave used to work with, and they actually are from another country, and the culture in that country is you're late. Amen. Now, I don't agree with that. I just think late's wrong. We're all right. I wouldn't work out in those countries, but it's true. What did party's at 4 o'clock. So they've got Adelaide dressed up, and you know, hey, if you've ever had children or got them now, that ain't an easy task, amen? They make their way all the way out near Carowinds, and they at 4 o'clock, and I train my children right, probably, you know, be on time. They're there at 4. Guess when the baby got there for the party, 5:30? And you know, they're telling me that's the culture and laughing about it and talking. I'm like, that's wrong. They say I get more like my daddy longer. That's wrong. Well, that's a waste of time. He got time for that. But see, y'all, it's the very thing that God is looking down at us and saying, I can't believe, thank God, God wants to be with me in a relationship so much that when I treat Him that way, when I say, don't need to talk to the designer today, don't need your diagram today, don't need your decisions today. Hey, listen, our relationship with God shows us the purpose to get through everything. There's a second thing. I'm going to move through these quickly. Relationship equals presence. My favorite verse in there, we saw Him very in the very beginning, Him in the garden with them. But in John 8:29, the Bible says, and He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. Jump to Revelations. The Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. There's this picture. Listen, when you're in a relationship with God, it's that you're in the presence of Him. And listen, once you receive Him, you've got His presence inside. Even if you're lost here this morning, you got that lost friend or family, the presence of the Holy Spirit is always there drawing them. I ran after Sunday school. One lesson that was shared in Sunday school talked about Jesus showing up after the ascension. The disciples were meeting. He showed up in the room, just showed up there, said, peace be unto them. I told Chris, that's what they need at the shop the other day. Amen. Eric, you probably need that at the shop sometimes. Hey, Christ is all, what? Hey, listen, a relationship with Him equals His presence is always there. And thank God, praise God, if I get in a bad situation this week, I can look around and I won't be able to see Him, but I can know because I'm in a relationship with Him that He's there. And I just get the picture of Jesus saying, you and me, you know, don't worry about what's going on. Don't get so upset what's happening. You and me. You and me. That's what's going to happen one day with heaven, y'all and me. Listen, a sinner like me, what's going to happen? They wouldn't let me in the gate for nothing. I ain't getting in. But when I die, Jesus Christ simply says, He's with me. He's with me. It's His presence. And that's what a relationship means, that we experience that presence. He said in Matthew 15:33, then Jesus called His disciples unto Him and said, I have compassion on the multitude. Remember, He's going to feed the miracle of feeding the folks. He says, because they continue with me now 3 days. They've been with Him 3 days, continue with in presence with Him. He talks about Matthew 11:28, come unto me. He says, come to me. I want you to be with me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall have rest unto my souls. My yoke is easy, my burden. Y'all, they ain't no better than that. Hey, on your worst day, Remember, what your relationship means, what he's saying is, come be with me. Amen. Come be with me. I want to be with you. We've all had those times, like I mentioned, where nobody wants to be around you. And sometimes you don't want to be around your own self. And Jesus says, hey, come with me. Bring that burden to me. That's what relationship equals. Relationship with him also equals, some it equals power. In Luke 11, 23, the Bible says, he that is not with me is against me. What a statement. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth. This relationship, when he says be with me, I tell you, when you're with Jesus, and you're letting him design things and diagram things and decide things, and you're walking with him, man, there's this power that comes out of that relationship. And it's that power that really is evident when he says in Matthew 19, 26, he says, but with God, all things are possible. Y'all, that's power, amen? How's it going to happen? I don't know. But with Jesus, he tells me that anything can be possible. But there's a scary thing. So we got the power to be used by him that I just read you in the verse about. He says, if you're not with me, you're against me. That means with him in relationship, I've got the power that he can use me as he's gathering other people. He can just use me a part of his gathering. Amen. I can't do no gathering. But the warning is the opposite of that. He says, if you're against me, you're not gathering. That means that the power works the opposite. We have the power to scatter people. Amen? And we've all done it. When do we scatter people away from Jesus? When we're not in a relationship we need to be. Now, there's a relationship in power, but there's a relationship in prayer. It's one of the first verses that jumped out. Man, Wednesday night, we've been looking for some Wednesday nights now about when Jesus made the statement that the disciples had gone to pray and they'd fallen asleep, and Jesus came back to them and he said, can you not watch with me? There it is again in the Bible, with me 1 hour, to his disciples. Been challenging our Wednesday night prayer group and Bible study crowd. Wait, we need to spend that time doing him. I've challenged you. If you don't spend a lot of time in prayer, I wouldn't start with an hour. Try 5 minutes. What do you mean, preacher? Look at my watch. I mean exactly that. You'll be surprised. Over my life, I've been surprised at how little I pray. And the only way you're going to know how little you pray, you got to put some kind of, you know, judgment by it. But I'm telling you, if you don't pray a whole lot, hear Jesus say, he wants to be with you in prayer. And he said that you can't watch me an hour. He's prayed all night for it. Try 15 minutes. I mean, literally, try it this week. Get alone with him somewhere. Get outside somewhere. Get alone and take your watch with you and just see. But I tell you, you'll find out something. You really start spending time with him in his word, and you simply do this. You begin to listen to the prayer requests around this church, around people you work with, around people in your family, and you literally begin to write them down. Let me tell you what you can't do. You can't help but spend time in your relationship in prayer with him. I find times that I can get through my family and a lot of times going by. Then I got to get the church prayer list. See, but relationship, listen, don't miss this. Relationship equals prayer, and the less time you spend in prayer, the less time you have in relationship. But last of all, relationship equals plans for the future. There's one verse and I'm done. It's in Revelations 22:12. Let me read it to you. In Revelations 22:12, Jesus uses these words with me again. He says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. A relationship equals understanding that there's plans. And Jesus, and since he's coming back and he's bringing a reward with him, and you know, here's how we say, oh, Lord, it's enough to have Jesus. I don't need anything else. Well, that's true. But that's not what the Bible says, D. He says, I'm bringing something back with me. It's this picture, y'all. That Jesus, I so much want to be with you, that if you'll just be with me in this relationship that's going closer and closer day by day, that you're not even going to recognize it. But I speak of these rewards and things I want to give you. Now, the Bible says in heaven we'll lay those rewards down at his feet, praise God. But he says he's bringing them with me. Would you bow with me? Every head bowed and every eye closed. As we get time for invitation, think about that for a moment. What has your relationship with him, the times if you spent with him, what things will he be able to reward you for? Well, preacher, I'm just trying to get through life and just trying to do the best I can, and I know I need a closer walk, but what's that all about? It's this picture. When you get in a close relationship with him, you begin to do things for others, and you begin to be used of him. And I dare say you'll not be aware of most everything that he's thinking about here, because it'll simply be part of your relationship. Have you ever had your husband, your wife, a child, a friend, or someone just go on and on about something that you did for them, and to you it just wasn't that big a deal? It wasn't near as big a deal as they're making it out to be? That's the relationship Jesus wants to have with you, where he's using you to do things that they just don't seem like that big a deal, but they're a big deal to him. The invitation is simple. If you've never really given your heart to him, you're not in relationship with him. And I encourage you to leave your seat, leave your sin, and come. Let's open the Word of God and show you how to have that relationship. That's all the things we looked at today that allows you to be with him now in a relationship and one day in heaven. How about it, Christian? When he says, with me, what does that mean to you this morning? What does your relationship look like? It doesn't matter what I think about your relationship. And to be honest, how much am I with you really anyway? I don't know your relationship. You can put on an act when you come here around me. But is your relationship this morning what he wants it to be? Or is it what you're settling for? Or do you really not have the relationship you even want with him that you know he wants? What a time to deal with that, because I believe, just as with the disciples, he's here at this altar. He says, come be with me at this altar this morning. He's waiting. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jessica.
Okay, if you'll please stand and join me, we're going to sing Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone.